Even though the gospel reading is about the wedding feast at Cana and how Jesus performed his first miracle or his first sign at the wedding feast of Cana when the bride and groom ran out of wine, of course. That is the obvious gospel reading. But if we read all of the readings this week for the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, we are being reminded in the real, personal, scriptural, and theological way that God loves us. And He's very attentive to our small needs. And He always actively pursues us. What does this mean, my brothers and sisters? In the eyes of the world, many of us are just another person, another number, another face, another body. In the eyes of the world, sometimes we are nobodies. But in the eyes of God, we are His beloved. Read the first reading today, and you and I will see that just like Israel, the land out of nowhere, the land that was small and insignificant in the eyes of the world and according to other culture and civilization and empire around it. They were small and insignificant, but yet God chose Israel and loved them, and Israel became His beloved. So each and every one of us, too, are being reminded in a very real and personal way that we are God's beloved. He really cares for us, and He loves us into being, not because that we are worthy, not because that we are somehow a somebody, but because we are worthy of His love. What does this mean, then, my brothers and sisters, to be God beloved? This is the question that I want to ask each and every one of you. Do you understand your belovedness in God? Or are you chasing after the things of this world in order to be loved by the voices, by the people, by the ideology, by the revolutions, or by the matters of this world? Who are you allowing to define your life? Yourself, your identity, your word, your mission, your purpose, who you are. Who are you allowing to define you? Is it this world or is it God? My brothers and sisters, unless we know who we are as God beloved, and until we know our belovedness in Him and how He has pursued us, then we will never know what it means to love. Which leads me toward the second reading as well at the gospel reading today, talking about how we allow ourselves to be instrumental in being a part of the Holy Spirit work in sanctifying the world and lifting up other people and leading other people to the one who truly loves us. At the wedding feast of Cana, my brothers and sisters, be attentive. First, marriage is not just a social construction. Even though at times our Supreme Court or our justice system would like to define it in that way, if it's simply a social construction, then it will always change according to the popular opinion or common, quote-unquote, understanding of that society. Yes, marriage existed before Jesus sacramentalized it, made it into a sacrament. Yes, marriage exists after the fall when Adam and Eve took each other and learn how to love one another in their brokenness, their limitations, with God's blessing. Marriage exists in the natural state in the beginning of time. But Jesus did a wonderful thing. He sacramentalized it. He gave it a deeper meaning beyond the social construct. He made it into a sacramental extension of his love for the church and the love of the church for him. For us as Catholics, the sacrament of matrimony is not simply something that we go to the court, sign some type of paper, have the wedding of our dreams, take wonderful pictures and videos, post it on the internet, and make it my wedding, quote unquote, my dream wedding. As a matter of fact, the wedding is never about us. If you truly listen to the vows that are being said at the wedding, the husband and the wife, the husband represents Christ in loving the church, and the wife representing the church who loves Christ, and they give themselves totally and completely to one another by saying this, I take you as my husband or my wife, and I promise to be true to you, to love you. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, now and for the rest of my life. I take you. I choose you. I love you. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, now and for the rest of my life. But think about it. The wedding vows are actually nothing new. It's actually the extension of what we should have said to God at each and every moment. Lord, I choose you because you have chose me. I choose to love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my beings, even with everything that I have, in all of my struggle and all of my limitation, Lord. I choose to love you because you have loved me first. You see? The sacrament of matrimony or marriage, it's one of the sacraments of service. The other one is holy order. And in holy order, the priest gives himself totally and completely to Christ in loving the church. And in marriage, the husband and the wife choose to love Christ in one another. So it's never about us. It's about in loving one another that Christ has loved us. That's why it's a sacrament of service, of choosing to serve one another, to love one another that Christ has served and loves us. To help each other understand our belovedness, who we are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, matrimony, it's not a human construction or part of a social institution. It's a sacrament of Christ's love. And that's why in the sacrament of matrimony, the husband and wife have to choose the first decision that my marriage is not about me. That wedding is not about me. That wedding is not my dream wedding. That wedding is the first act of dying to myself. It's that first act of letting my ego go because it's not mine. That I choose to bring my spouse and myself and my spouse in front of the altar of the Lord and give myself totally to my spouse because I love him, because I love her. And we can only love each other because Christ has loved us. See, even the wedding, the first day of a lifelong marriage is the first act of dying to oneself. It's not about her, it's not about me. Because no matter how hard we try to love the other person, we will fail. Because we have our breaking point, we have our limitation, we have our shortcoming. We're finite. We're humans. And the same thing. That's why we cannot expect to be one another's fulfillment. Or to think that somehow I'm going to be my spouse's answer. And my spouse is going to be dependent on me or I on her. No, we have to be dependent on the Almighty who has shown us what it means to love. You see, then that wedding day become the first day that they chose to die to themselves in order to love one another to Him. Yes, it's hard. And that's why we see people don't want to get married in the church anymore, because it's all about them. It's all about their wedding. It's about fulfilling their dreams and only dependent on each other. And we will always fall short, because whatever begins with us will end with us when we have nothing else to give. At the wedding feast of Cana, my brothers and sisters, look at who interceded when the brides and the groom ran out of wine. It's what Mother Mary, attentive, the one who reflects all things in her heart, was attentive to the small details. So in one's marriage too, in one's family, invite the Blessed Mother into the small details. And when it gets hard to love one another, ask her to lead you to Christ Jesus, who is able to turn your ordinariness, your natural limitation, capacity, and shortcoming, and turn it into wine, into good wine, not just cheap moonshine one, not fake ones. Good wine, that which signifies His blessings for you. We can only bring water, our own humanity, our own nothingness to Him, and ask Him to change it to wine. And ask the Blessed Mother to do that. But my brothers and sisters, today I would like to invite you, please, especially with our young people, to please see that marriage is not about you or me, nor holy orders is about us. The two sacraments of service is about serving one another and loving one another as Christ has loved us, and choosing to love Him just like the church does. Christ has sacramentalized and sanctified marriage and made it into something meaningful, deeper, self-giving, sacrificial. So today, invite Christ Jesus into your marriage, into your family, into where it hurts the most, where you feel like you have nothing else to give. And let Him turn your ordinary water, your nothingness, into good wine of love, of sanctification, of holiness, of self-giving, of selfless act of total loving the other person, because we know who we are as God's beloved, and to help the other to know their own belovedness in Him too. There's much to say, but I don't think I have all the time to say it. So first, let me remind you again, pray about your own belovedness, to understand how much God loves you and how much He pursued you and I, and to give ourselves totally and completely to Him. And second, for those who are married, invite Christ Jesus into your own marriage, your own family, where it hurts the most, so that He can turn your ordinary water into wine, and try to live in your own marriage the love that Christ has for the church and the love that the church has for Christ. And whenever you find hard at times, ask the Blessed Mother to lead your hand, because she's there, attentive, holding all things in her heart. Be like Mary at times. Stop talking at times. But be attentive to one another. And for those who are still discerning between the vocation of marriage or holy orders, know that both complement each other, because both are all sacraments of service. In holy orders, the priest chooses to give his everything in loving Christ in the church. Just like in marriage, the couple choose to love one another through him. Whatever that call might be for you, choose to love him first. Choose to serve him. Choose to give everything to him. And when you and I learn how to not depend on ourselves, but depend on him, we can in turn serve and give ourselves for the greater good of one another. So we can help each other know our own belovedness in God who has loved us.